E-tidings, Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tá míle fáilte rót an seo. Hear this, listener. Give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. Observed and took ear of some crows building their nests. Always in high trees do they build them. I wonder what it must feel like for a crow returning to a selected tree with that first twig with which to start building a nest. What was so appealing about that part of a branch that looks so ideal for a nest? It must be a nice feeling coming and going with twigs and bits and pieces of material to build the nest, gliding out, flying about, finding out, and gliding back in. I guess when they begin to see the nest taking shape, that is all they see. From then on out, perhaps they forget the tree completely. Are there ideas in our minds, like unto the birds, who build their nests in trees of the mind, and therein to hatch and rear new ideas which, when the moment is with them, will fly off out into the ever-welcoming air of the mind, singing away as they go, alighting here and there as they please, and bathing carefreely in shimmering streams. Past two men when I walking, and as I was coming up along by them, one was saying to the other, "You know, if that fellow had only taken more care of himself, he'd have lived a whole lot longer, so he would." And the other replied, "Listen to me, there's an awful lot of people who are dead now, that if they had only taken a bit better care of themselves, they'd all be alive now, like ourselves, so too they would." In today's broadcast, I'll be reading some more from Prince Hamlet, On the Nature of Things, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading from Prince Hamlet. The air bites shrewdly. It is very cold. It is a nipping and eager air. What hour now? I think it lacks of 12. It is struck. Indeed? I had it not. Then it draws near the season wherein the spirit held his wont to walk. What does this mean, my lord? The king doth wake to-night, and takes his ruse, keeps his wassail, and the swaggering upspring reels, and as he drains his draughts of Rhinish down, the kettle-drum and trumpet doth spray out the trumpet of his pledge. Is it a custom? Ay, marry, is it? But to my mind, though I am native here and to the manner born, it is a custom more honoured in the breach than the observance. This heavy-headed revel, east and west, makes us traduced and taxed of other nations. They clepy us drunkards, and with swinish phrases soil our addition, and indeed it takes from our achievements, though performed at height, the pit and marrow of our attribute. So oft it chances in particular men, that for some vicious mole of nature in them, as in their birth, wherein they are not guilty, since nature cannot choose his origin, by the overgrowth of some complexion, oft breaking down the pales and forts of reason, or by some habit that too much o'er-leavens the form of plausive manners, that these men carrying, I say, the stamp of one defect, being nature's livery, or fortune's star, their virtues else be theirs pure as grace, as infinite as man may undergrow. Shall in the general censure take corruption from that particular fault, the dram of ale doth all the noble substance of a doubt to his own scandal. Look, my lord, it comes! angels and ministers of grace defend us. Be thou a spirit of health or goblin damned, bring with thee airs from heaven or blast from hell. Be thy intents wicked or charitable, thou comest in such a questionable shape that I will speak to thee. I'll call thee Hamlet, King, Father, Royal Dane, oh, answer me. Let me not burst in ignorance, but tell why thy canonized bones, hearsed in death, have burst their cerements, why the sepulchre wherein we saw thee quietly inurned had oped his ponderous and marble jaws to cast thee up again. What may this mean, that thou did course again in complete steel, revisited us the glimpses of the moon, making night hideous, and we fools of nature so horridly shake our disposition with thoughts beyond the reaches of our souls? Say, why is this? Wherefore? What should we do? It beckons you to go away with it, as if it some impartment did desire to you alone. Look, with what courteous action it waves you to a more removed ground, but do not go with it. No, by no means. It will not speak? Then I will follow it. Do not, my lord. Why? What should be the fear? I do not set my life in a pin's fee. And for my soul, what can it do to that? Being a thing immortal as itself, it waves me forth again. I'll follow it. What if it tempt you toward the flood, my lord, or to the dreadful summit of the cliff that beetles o'er his base into the sea, and there assume some horrible form, which might deprive your sovereignty of reason and draw you into madness? Think of it. The very place puts toys of desperation, without more motive, into every brain that looks so many fathoms to the sea and hears his roar beneath. It waves me still. Go on, I'll follow thee. You shall not go, my lord. Hold off your hands. Be ruled, you shall not go. My fate cries out, and makes each petty artery in this body as hardy as the Nemean lion's nerve. Still am I called. Unhand me, gentlemen. By heaven, I'll make a ghost of him that lets me. I say away. Go on, I'll follow thee. This is a reading in continuity from the 1st century BC poem On the Nature of Things, by the Roman poet and philosopher Titus Lucretius Carus. And then again, since there is ever an extreme bounding point of that first body which our senses now cannot perceive, that bounding point indeed exists without all parts, a minimum of nature, nor was e'er a thing apart as of itself, nor shall hereafter be, since 'tis itself still parcel of another, a first and single part, whence other parts and other similar in order lie in a packed phalanx, filling to the full the nature of first body. Being thus non-self-existent, they must cleave to that from which in no wise they can sundered be. So primal germs have solid singleness, which tightly packed and closely joined cohere by virtue of their minim particles. No compound by mere union of the same, but strong in their eternal singleness, nature reserving them as seeds for things, permitted naught of rupture or decrease. Moreover, were there not a minimum, the smallest bodies would have infinites, since then a half of a half could still be halved, with limitless divisions less and less. Then what the difference twixt the sum and least? None, for however infinite the sum, yet even the smallest would consist the same of infinite parts. But sense, true reason here protests, denying that the mind can think it, convinced thou must confess such things that there are as have no parts, the minimums of nature. And since these are, likewise confess thou must, that primal bodies are solid and eternal, again if nature, creatress of all things, were wont to force all things to be resolved unto these parts, then would she not avail to reproduce from them anything, because whate'er is not endowed with parts cannot possess those properties required of generative stuff, diverse connections, weights, blows, encounters, motions, whereby things forevermore have been, and go on. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. No three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Humaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" There are here on the island of today women and men whose knowledge goes as far as thinking. They really have no idea, deep down, why everything is, including themselves, nor are they truly convinced how everything came to be or will be, including themselves. There were here on the island, in centuries of old tell told, women and men whose knowledge, by way of an importation, went as far as thinking, "There is a God above all gods, who created all, including themselves, from whom they and all came forth, and to whom they and all will return." And there are many here on the island to this day who would still, steadfastly, be of that way of thinking, be of that belief. And in the ancient old, we are so told, were women and men here on the island whose native knowledge went as far as thinking, "There is nothing that isn't divine, from themselves, to the trees, to the animals, to the rivers, to the rocks, to the hills, and to the sky, even to the sun and moon." And there are some here on the island to this day who would, in some form or way, lay claim to be of that same view. And then, in ancient, more ancient old, now near forgotten all tell told, were there women and men here on the island whose knowledge went as far as saying, "The limitation of the mind is thinking. The limitation of the eyes is seeing. The limitation of the nose is scenting. The limitation of the ears is listening. The limitation of the tongue is tasting. And the limitation of the skin is feeling." They were of the view that with the leaving go of these primary limitations, by putting them behind them, as it were, true knowledge would then be able to naturally present itself to them. And it did. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, the light of your patient expectation of gaining new insights into existence will ever keep itself burning bright. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. And spare a thought, too, for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult and not at all of their own making. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes Monday to Friday, and occasionally on the weekends. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.